You are listening to Pandora's Box on CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from the unceded territories of Musqueam people at the University of British Columbia.
And today we are coming in live from the Love Island Villa for our Valentine's Day episode, slightly belated, but let's not worry about that. We are your hosts for the hour, Vista.
And Layla. And we have a very special guest today.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to introduce yourself?
Yes. Hi, my name is Ruka.
And for a fun fact, can you please tell us your favorite ice cream flavor?
My favorite ice cream flavor is mint chocolate chip.
Love.
It's a good choice.
I also love. Very refreshing flavor.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And again, happy belated Valentine's Day for all of those who celebrate. Today we're covering the mythological figure of Eros, or as we might know him better, Cupid, joined by our lovely guest host, Ruka. And she'll be getting into the history of Cupid in art, and we'll be featuring some of our favorite love songs right now for this love episode. So, let's get into it. According to Roman mythology, Cupid was the son of Venus, or its Greek version, Aphrodite, who is the goddess of fertility, beauty, and love. And so, again, Cupid is interchangeable with the god Eros in Greek, and his Greek etymology means desires, cravings, and or passion. So Cupid was, again, the god of desire and love, and he has two kinds of arrows with his, like, very famous bow, one which grants love and the other one which grants forgetfulness. And that's a little, you know, a couple, few basic facts about Cupid. Speed dating with Cupid, maybe what he might put on his Hinge profile.
True.
Were he to do that, hopefully not, you know, because I feel like it'd be a pretty bad sign if, like, the god of, you know, love and desires and, like, matchmaking was on Hinge.
Yeah, that would definitely be an interesting.
Yeah.
Like, what's going on?
Yeah. What's going on? Exactly. But, yeah, we'll switch it over to Ruka to talk a bit about Eros and art history.
Okay, thank you guys. I major in art history, so I guess I've dabbled a lot with Greek and Roman ancient art. I genuinely think that it's really interesting. I think it's interesting to talk about, like, Cupid as well as a figure. We associate him a lot with Valentine's Day, and I think that's really interesting because you see kind of Cupid being plastered on, like, merch and, like, all of these, like, memorabilia and things like that. So I guess the first appearance of Eros in art history was seen in the classical antiquity. Basically, this means a period of culture, politics, and intellectual progression within Europe. So when I'm referring to, like, ancient Greece or ancient Rome, there were four periods, which is geometric, archaic, classical, and Hellenistic. I know it's, like, a little bit of a mouthful. But I guess, like, in terms of Greek art, a lot of it was standing sculptures, votive offerings, so, like, offerings to gods of some sort. And there was, like, really, there was a big importance on, like, proportion and, like, depicting figures for exactly as they are. So in the first appearances of Eros during the classical period, he is depicted as a simple male figure with wings. He does not have a bow and arrow at this point.
And he's not mini.
Yeah.
He's not
and
tiny.
He is, like, a slim, slender, like, man.
Oh,
because I'm imagining, like, you know, like, the Cupid mayonnaise?
Yeah.
That's literally exactly. My Cupid.
I was going to ask, I don't know if you're going to get into this later, but, like, did... Was there, like, a specific era, like, where it shifted from the, like, very man-like to, like, cherub? Okay, okay. I'll let you get into that.
Okay. So, yeah, the Hellenistic period is actually when these sculptures began depicting Eros.
Okay. As, like, there we go.
It was more of, like, a baby-like kind of infantile figure.
Love.
And so I guess these, like, depictions range from, like, babies to, like, young male, like, figures. But this was the time when he was, like, adorning a bow and an arrow. And as Layla mentioned, he would shoot whoever with, like, love or, like, forgetfulness or any of these, like, revenge. And, yeah, so I think it's just really interesting to talk about how, like, these sculptures were used as, like, offerings to the gods.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, a lot of sculptures during the Greek period, they would, like, place them in temples and artists would, like, make them specifically to show their, like, devotion mm-hmm. to these gods. Mm. I guess, like, a question that I had was just, like, why is, like, Cupid depicted as a young child?
That's true. Because what does, like, a toddler know? I mean, maybe a toddler knows the most about relationships because, like, a toddler is not talking about, like, oh, 50-50 this or, like, you know, high value, like, stuff like that, right? So maybe they are, like maybe, like, the innocence of love or something. Mm.
I mean, yeah, like, it's really interesting to me, and I couldn't find a certain, like, answer for as to why certain Greek gods are depicted as children, and they are kept that way, and I just, like, yeah, I was, like...
His Benjamin Button serve.
Oh, maybe.
Backwards.
Yeah. Being a slim young man to a chubby little toddler. And he's probably, like, shooting arrows, being like, mama y papa, like, getting four sentences.
It's so, like, cute to see, like, I guess, like, the little baby and, like, just, like, but also, Cupid's kind of evil. Like, I can't lie. We're going to get into this later, but, yeah, like, I feel like he, if he has the ability to make someone fall in love, what else can he do?
True. That's true. That's scary. Because what if he makes you fall in love with, like, someone, like, horrible?
Oh.
Right?
Okay. You know what? And here's the thing. While we're on the topic of chubby baby toddler cherub Cupid baby, Cupid, like, Sunny Angels definitely remind me of that. But as you're mentioning, like, the evil thing, bro, Sunny Angels, like, they have that mischievous little look.
Yeah,
and, like,
for
they
sure.
actually, like, I feel like if they came to life, they would be evil. Like, they would wreak havoc.
I completely agree with you.
I can definitely see that.
Yes.
Also, the word cherub. Cherub always gets me. Yeah, there's this, like, book series called, like, Cherub with, like, it was, but it was an acronym, and it was, like, the most, like, it was, like, child James Bond MI6 type organization, and it was so, like, not age appropriate at all. It was, like, some British dude, like, talking about it, and literally, like, they censored the one that was released in America because the original title for it was, like, drug, sex, and coke, or something like that, or, like, and, like, violence and death, or whatever, and it was literally, like, something like that, and mind you, the protagonists are all, like, 12 years old. I was, like, oh, my God, like, skins, like, but with, like, MI6 involved, anyways,
right.
And so whenever anyone says cherub, like, that's immediately what I think about, and, yeah, nothing cute.
No.
Yeah, just horrifying.
Literally. Sorry to go back to the Sunny Angel point, but I just Googled Sunny Angel evil, and why do they have Sunny Angels that are dressed in devil costumes with red eyes, and it says My Angel on it? Like,
that's
what's
crazy.
Up?
Somebody had to draw that and, like, design it and, like,
I like that. This one. I like the garlic one.
Oh, that's that one's actually
what
pretty
Sunny
cute.
Angels do you guys like? Which ones have you seen that you liked?
I like the one that, I don't know.
I have
I
one
like
that's
garlic
a carrot.
One.
Yeah, I really like the garlic one.
I like any of the animal
I got the
ones,
fruit ones. The fruit ones were my fave.
Ooh, like a strawberry one?
Yes.
That one's so cute.
And the melon.
Wait,
oh, I
have not
seen the melon
one,
but the melon one is really... Let me show you.
But I heard there was, like, this thing about how, like, Sunny Angels are kind of, like, cultish. Like, if you look on the packaging, there's some, like, words...
Really?
There's
like,
some,
kind of?
I don't even know, but I just heard that there was a little conspiracy.
Oh, wow.
Scared.
It's like,
what's going on?
Yeah.
I'm telling you, they're evil. Like, there's something up.
Yeah.
Maybe it's like Elf on the Shelf. Like, because they kind of have an Elf on the
Shelf.
Yeah, it has
that, like, mischievous, but, like, you're up to something look.
Yeah. Wow. Well, what's going on? I guess, so, Cupid with his bow and arrow, right? Something that made me think, like, on the topic of you saying that he can be, like, really good and, like, you know, for love and all this, like, good stuff, but also, like, kind of evil, is, like, he's, like, the original, like, hit or miss.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
oh, so
you know,
true.
Either you get hit with the arrow and you're falling in love, and maybe that's, like, that's a hit or miss in itself.
Yeah.
But then he can also, like, make you forget. Like, forget what? Literally, that's so scary. Ooh. And with that, I just, like, got reminded of, like, you know, when people, like, pick those petals, like, in, like, books and stuff, mm-hmm. they're, like, and a song that we have been obsessing over along with probably tons of other people, but, you know, we're gonna say that we were obsessing over it first to be cool and stuff, but whatever. And that would be Love Me Not by Raven Lenae. Just kind of, like, she released it in 2014, but it's really like, or sorry, not 2014, guys, sorry, 2024. But it's really gaining traction these past couple of months, and we were just seeing everywhere, and we're seeing her music video come out, and it's just great. I don't know, like, I'm loving it. So, yeah, with that, we're gonna just send you off to Loves Me Not. Bye. See right now, I need you, I'll meet you somewhere now. You up now, I see you, I get you, take care now. Slow down, be cool, I miss you, come here now. It's yours now, keep it, I'll hold on until now. I need you right now, once I leave you, I'm strung out. If I get you, I'm slowly breaking down. And oh, it's hard to see you, but I wish you were right here.
Listener?
Dreamer?
Music nerd?
Want to cover artists?
Visit venues?
Write something?
Events?
Personal essays?
Anything!
Submit to Discorder Magazine and then take it a step further on Hail Discordia with your hosts, Zoe
and Izzy. Hail Discordia is an audio translation of Discorder Magazine. We interview writers, play music and soundscapes, and do a deep dive of each zine issue. Hail Discordia plays at 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on the third Thursday of every month on CITR 101.9 FM.
Submit something for the magazine and come onto the show, or just tune in and listen. We promise it's worth it.
To Pandora's Box on CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from the unceded territories of Musqueam people at the University of British Columbia. And that was Love Me Not by Raven Linne. And we left off with a bit of an interesting question about the depiction of Cupid in art and the shift that went down there. But Ruka has some more things to let us know about Cupid in paintings and sculpture.
Okay, so I guess I really wanted to unpack the specific sculpture that I was really drawn to. It is called Psyche Revived by Cupid's Kiss, and it's a sculpture by Italian artist Antonio Canova, first commissioned in 1787 by John Campbell. And I guess basically the sculpture captures this like loving embrace of two really like pioneers of Greek mythology, which is Eros, and his counterpart, the soul, which is called Psyche. So the love affair between Cupid and Psyche is actually a bit of a complicated one. There's a whole like myth towards it, and I struggled to understand like all the details of this, honestly, but this is kind of what I got from Reddit. So basically Aphrodite, who is Eros's mother,
Mama.
She's envious of Psyche's beauty. So she sends her son to use his love arrows to make her fall in love with an ugly person. Obviously, this doesn't work. Eros ends up falling for Psyche. And then there's a whole bunch of, like, family lore that goes on. I'm not going to get into it. But basically, Psyche falls asleep and she is poisoned by Aphrodite. Oh. And then at the end, Eros wakes Psyche up with a kiss of love. So I guess there's lots of neoclassical influences in the sculpture. First of all, the sculpture is entirely made out of marble. It's very beautiful. Mm-hmm. Here you guys are.
Oh, that's actually beautiful.
That is actually beautiful.
Yeah, and I think it's just, it's the most beautiful thing. There's like these realistic proportions of these models, and they're adhering to these certain principles at the time, which was the golden ratio. Mm-hmm. And there's also some elements of kind of the divine and the supernatural to it. Cupid's wings kind of reach outwards, and both figures are nude, as common in like Greek sculptures.
Oh, they were being modest. Mm-hmm. Wow.
And they are engulfed in this like drapery. There's a sense of almost helplessness in Psyche. Like she's kind of sprawled and like holding on to Cupid's head. But I think it's just very moving that they are directly looking at each other. There's like this intense gaze of love between the two. And I think that really plays upon the trope, I guess, of like Disney, like how, you know, there's a lot of instances where the helpless princess gets saved by this like prince. And I just, yeah, I think it's a really important artwork just because it's shows that love has the ability to heal and revive our hearts. But
lovely.
I love that, honestly. I also think that's really funny, whole, you know, falling in love with the girl
that you didn't this literally happen to Fidel?
He fell in love with an ugly person?
No, the
sorry, that's what I was talking about.
The FBI, like, sent this agent to kill Fidel Castro, but then she fell in love with him.
Oh, yeah, that is exactly what this is.
Yeah, this is, like, history repeats itself, guys. Life imitates art.
Yeah.
And I'm sure later in the future, like, actually, I'm not sure, but maybe Fidel Castro saw that and he was like, wait, low-key, like, I did that. Speaking of, like, romances that maybe, like, get off on the wrong foot a little bit, I was gonna say like Pride and Prejudice, but like I don't know, like were they really like enemies? It was just like angst to lovers.
Yeah, angst
like
to lovers. I feel like that's a lot though. People like really love an angst to lovers, but I think we rarely see like an actual like they're like nemesis, and then you just end up, you know.
Yeah.
But I do feel like there's gotta be something. Enemies to lovers. There's like. Not your fault enemies to lovers.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Like, your families are enemies, but you're not enemies.
This is,
like,
the
star-crossed lovers probe. Mm-hmm. But, oh my gosh, and you know what? And we just thought of something.
Yeah.
Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Have you seen that, Rupa?
Yes, I have.
Oh my gosh, you have?
Yes.
That's so
the
good.
Show or the movie?
The movie.
Oh, no.
Okay, no, sorry, you need to watch the show.
You need to watch the show.
The
it's
show
the
is,
season.
Like, the movie, like, 20 times better.
Okay.
But, yeah, there is a number of, like, enemies to lovers, to back to enemies, to, like, weird situationship. Like,
and, like
what?
Age to,
like,
gap to the max.
Yeah, and that's the thing about a vampire-human relationship is that the age gap will never be appropriate. Because what do you mean? Your boyfriend, like, you're in high school and your boyfriend's, like, literally born in the 1600s.
He's, like, decaying.
He was literally, he's like, World Wars. Never been vaccinated and he could not be vaccinated. It would kill him.
He has, like, cholera and, like, all the diseases from the 1600s.
Yeah,
he
literally predates being, like, the country that he lived all that in. Stuff by, like, being near your boyfriend. That would be disgusting. I mean, I guess with a vampire, they don't get sick, but...
Nuh-uh.
And no beach day. Like, no beach day. No, like...
Sleep schedule ruined.
That's true.
It's tough.
I mean, Buffy... that girl's sleep schedule was already, like...
ruined. But... but I'm just saying, like, she didn't... Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
That was a real enemies to lovers. Because they were actually... Literally multiple times. They were trying to kill each other. And we won't say...
Wait, are you thinking about...
I'm thinking about the second... Her second.
Oh, yeah. But, like, literally both times.
That's
true. And even, like, the... Okay, this one's, like, not a spoiler, but Riley, like, low-key was her enemy. Not in the start, but, like, he was working, like, for the enemy.
That's true. And there's been a few other ones where it's, like, they were off to... Like, they were, like, actually lovers to, like, brainwashed enemies to, like, lovers again.
Oh, Cordelia and Xander.
Oh, yeah. Enemies that was lovers. True. Oh, but you know what? Another great enemies to lovers or, like, something kind of one is the OC. My favorite couple in all of TV fiction.
Have you seen the OC?
No. Seth Cohen and Summer.
I'll go watch it.
So good. Yeah. But before we got distracted, I think we were actually heading in a direction with that. Oh, yeah. Like maybe your families.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, family is like a big thing. Yeah. Now I'm reading this back. It's like... Actually, Eros' mother, like, his mother was envious of Psyche.
Because Eros did not gaff. Like, he did not.
Like, why, like, what, like, kind of vengeance or why did Aphrodite, why was Aphrodite so jealous?
Can you imagine being Aphrodite and being jealous of someone?
She's, like the goddess of beauty.
Look in the mirror.
She's the goddess of beauty. Like, I don't
know. I know. It's crazy.
For why?
She really should have just been, like... not overcome with jealousy.
And let's talk about my personal favorite turf war, families are beefing, Romeo and Juliet. Not Romeo and Juliet, Romeo and
I've
Juliet.
I've never heard of that. Romeo?
Mind you, that's literally crazy. How did they come, like, why did they come up with that? Who came up with the idea of we're gonna make a love story about garden gnomes?
Probably a person who was just like, they were probably doing some like Chip Smith stuff and they came up with Romeo. They were like, Romeo, Romeo.
No. Oh, true.
And then they were like, you know, just like thinking of rhymes and they were like, well, I can pitch this.
I actually love it so much. Literally. Because when I was a kid, I would go to Iran like every summer and those flights were long. Like, I would be traveling for like 24 hours and I literally would just watch Romeo and Juliet on repeat the entire flight. Like, it would be start and stop. Like, oh, the movie finished? Okay, rewind. Let's watch it again from the top. Like, Romeo and Juliet had, like, an impact. Because, like, who, realistically, like, yes, like, garden gnomes probably do have turf war and beef and family beef. And, like, as a society, like, we need to understand that, like, let the garden gnomes vote, let the garden gnomes fall in love, and let the garden gnomes have gang wars.
Yeah, that's true. But I do really like, I think the best Mercutio...
in, like, all of the...
In all of Romeo anything and Juliet was universe. Unfortunately... Like, I wish we could have, like, transposed this Mercutio into Romeo and Juliet. Like, it's the one that was played by Harold Perrineau in the 1996, like, super famous Leonardo DiCaprio one. Mm. And he literally saved the show down. Like, the Baz Luhrmann Romeo and Juliet, like... Mm-hmm. I liked it, you know, it was, like, dramatic, it was shot cool. After I watched
the
it,
concept
yeah,
of, like,
I
liked
the way
in...
that they shot it and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, the stylistic things that they did. I literally remember, like, watching that movie and then, like, wanting to see another movie that was not that, but the exact
the
same
exact
thing.
Same.
Like, for the next year, I was, like, itching for it.
That's
but
so I wish he'd done that with, like Baz Luhrmann, if he'd done The Great Gatsby in the same way.
Yeah.
If he'd done... Amazing. What else has he done? Moulin Rouge? But, like, I haven't seen that.
The basketball tag. Can you imagine the basketball tag?
Okay, no.
In the same way? Oh, he actually did West Side Story. I would have watched West Side Story if he did it in that way. Yeah. Moulin Rouge was done in the same way. It was
I don't know.
It was a very, like, something.
He directed No, he didn't.
Oh, wait, sorry. What? I don't think he directed West Side Stories. I actually don't know what his...
Oh, he did Elvis. Imagine him directing Elvis, like, a biopic, but he, like, placed it in, like, the 1800s.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, yeah, he doesn't have that
Sorry,
much
guys,
else.
He didn't,
like,
do
super...
West Side Story. I lied. Anyways, but, yeah, no, I think there is something that's going to be, like, eternally appealing about, like, star-crossed lovers. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Just, like, love it. Love it or hate it. Love it.
No, I love it.
But, yeah, so going on with that, we'll have our next two songs, which are by lovely Canadian artists. The first one that we'll play for you guys was recommended
by Ruka.
Mm-hmm. And it is called Still by Kay Trinata, featuring Charlotte Day Wilson.
Devin Cole is a woman in total control. Unafraid and unashamed, Cole has burst onto the scene through her expertly crafted feminist pop anthems, packaging social truths into repeat-worthy bops. This is the era of fempop, and Devin Cole is an artist you don't want to miss. Join Devin Cole on her Two Shades Blonder tour and see her in Vancouver at the Biltmore Cabaret on March 16th. To find out more and get your tickets, visit admitone.com. That's admitone.com.
Welcome back to Pandora's Box on CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from the unceded territories of Musqueam people at the University of British Columbia. And that was Still by Kay Trinata featuring Charlotte Day Wilson. Our next song that we're going to bring to you guys is All That by Carly Rae Jepsen, who we all kind of, I feel like she's an iconic, like, yep, love song girl.
Hey, I just met you.
And this is crazy, because I remember, like, blasting that whenever, like, I don't know, like, 2013 or whenever, like, those times were. Mm-hmm. The music video was that she was, like, singing about this dude, and he was, like, just into, like, her guitarist or something the whole time.
Which she was kind of woke for that.
I know. Yeah. Good job.
Progressive.
But, yeah, and come so, on, like, I have, like, very limited understandings of Carly Rae Jepsen before I stumbled upon this song this year, like, a week after watching Challengers, because I was just, like, I don't know, like, she came up, right? I found out she was from, like, Mission, super local. Also, yep. Mission, like, true, people are from there.
I didn't even know that could happen.
And then I saw that she collabed with, like, Dev Hynes from Blood Orange. And obviously, you know, if y'all have seen Challengers, like
you would
he
know.
Did that.
Mm-hmm.
He did that. So, like, you know, I was just curious. I was like, because what does Call Me Maybe and literally like champagne Uncle code. Ace have in common, and it's this. It's like a marriage of sorts. It's a love relationship of sorts. I love it. It's yeah. All That by Carly Rae Jepsen, and, you know, somewhat affiliated with Deadline.
Run for them life when I step into the jungle. We offer DJ workshops, open decks, pop-up parties, and more. Follow our socials such as Instagram, Discord, or join us through email, ubcelectronica@gmail.com.
Attention, all artists, zine makers, writers, musicians, community organizers, activists, anarchists, proles, punks, and weirdos. Are you screaming for your voice to be heard? Do you resist capitalism and colonialism? Are you angry about the current political climate and ready to act up about it? Well, we want you here. The second annual Anarchist Book Fair is now looking for creatives, creators, activists, and organizations who engage in community building, mutual aid, active resistance, skill building, and knowledge sharing to table booths and propose workshops. This is an anarchist space, which means it opposes hierarchies and seeks to amplify unheard voices and build communities of mutual aid and support. First come, first serve. 50% of tables reserved for marginalized voices. Email sponsorship@citr.ca before March 27th. sponsorship@citr.ca. sponsorship@citr.ca.
Welcome back to Pandora's Box, and that was All That by Carly Rae Jepsen.
Hey.
Hope you enjoyed it. You better have enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yeah. Supporting local Canadian mission artists. Right?
Absolutely.
Sorry, local Canadian mission artist makes it sound like she's like a missionary. She's like, kind of mission. She's like spreading the gospel.
Yeah, she's spreading the All That. And good for her. I listened to her gospel.
She's literally spreading the word of Cupid and love, and she's spreading
exactly.
the love.
She is spreading the love. And speaking of spreading the love, us three, very qualified citizens of the planet, are gonna give everyone
of the dating scene
of the dating scene, we're just gonna do a round of just talking about like what do we think about like love and what do we think about like relationships, and it's gonna be fun and it's gonna be silly.
True. I just envisioned us in like a town called Dating Scene, like citizens of the dating scene. It's giving
and
like Buttersburg
coming in live
like,
yeah. from Dating Scene. We actually switched locations.
Dateville,
but yeah.
Hingeville.
Absolutely not.
Let's talk about it.
Let's talk about that.
Okay. I recently saw a TikTok of this girl being like, I'm on Hinge literally only to do anthropological field work.
I really respect that.
I know.
I actually
really
think there should
that.
Be like a department of UBC devoted to Hinge studies. Like H-I-N-G 300.
I would literally take it. And the lecture is them going on Hinge and they look through the stuff and then they go through people's profiles and they just talk about it.
Or maybe we all have to make a Hinge profile in the class. I would actually
love
to do that.
I know someone had to do that. Like,
really?
Literally,
like,
someone was telling me for psych class, they had to download Tinder and
crazy.
Have it for
that's
like
a
lit.
There are a few classes that are like the psychology of love or like relationships and stuff like that, right? I just feel like we should have a class that fulfills the research requirement, and it is called Hinge 300. And that's what I'm saying, like, you know.
True. And like your reading is like, instead of like 100 pages of reading, it's like 100 swipes on Tinder.
Right,
Hinge.
And you have to like come up with the best prompts to like those ones that are like my sweet or like my guilty pleasure or whatever.
Yeah.
And you have to come up with like an answer that's not like, I don't know, like R&B.
What's funny about that, actually, not to air him out right now, but we were recently sent a video of someone that we do know, we will not say who, but his Hinge profile, and
some of the answers we're not giving, because some people have funny Hinge profiles.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know, like, people, like, have screenshots of them and stuff, and it's like,
yeah.
Maybe that's, like, the new viral tweet, is, like, having a funny Hinge profile, but, yeah.
I also want to address an epidemic. I don't know if y'all have been noticing this, but, like, I'm not on Hinge, but, like, trust I will receive, like,
definitely need to make
screenshots and screen recordings all the time. Why do so many men that I know from high school, first of all, at, like, age 18, say that they're, like, 22?
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, okay, yeah, I should have led with the first one, which is, why are you lying about your height? Like, we all know you're not
6'5".
But, like, the age is crazier to me, because, like, what?
Because, like, what are you going to do? Because
what's going on?
And I've seen people that were, like, 18 doing this, too. Yeah. Like, they were freshly 18. I'm like, what if you go to a bar?
Even younger. Like,
and then you have
younger.
To, like, pull up, like, yeah. your fake ID or something like that. Like, I don't know. That's embarrassing, guys.
If a man pulled out a fake on the first day, I would go. Imagine you're on a first date and his fake gets ripped up in front of you by the bouncer. The bouncer cuts up his fake ID. Like, what do you do?
That would be... I would, like, run away and pretend not to know them.
Yeah.
That's horrifying. But, no, I think the funniest things, though, is, like, that, you know, again, with the screenshots and stuff that we've seen, like... Those ones that are, like looking for, like, short-term relationship. It's, like, you're looking for something that wants to end. Like, what does that mean?
I really don't get it.
Yeah, but I don't know.
And I'm sure Cupid does not intend for you to fall when Eros shoots that arrow.
He doesn't have a short-term relationship arrow.
You're locked in forever until, unless I make
you
forget.
You don't have a choice.
Yeah,
exactly.
And that's how it should be.
Yeah.
I agree with you. Yeah.
Because that's the other thing. I'm, like... Who's, like, looking to, like, fall in love and then fall out of it, too?
Like, no, fall in love for the experience and just fall out of it eventually. Like,
yeah, fall in love for the
I'm dating to break up.
There are some people like that.
I know,
some people
but that's
like
crazy
that
to me. Like,
that's literally what
just, like, wasting your time, is it not? I don't know.
That's
like,
the other thing is the combination. I also saw this on TikTok recently. Was, like, a girl screenshotted some guy's Hinge, and it was, like, figuring out my relationship goals looking for short-term relationship.
Yeah. And it's, like, maybe you should figure them out.
Before you get
Because it's, like, clear that you're not figuring them out if you're still looking for a short-term relationship.
And some people might argue and be, like, well, like, maybe you need to be in a short-term relationship to figure out your relationship goals. Okay, but why are
you
going into
know.
It with the
you
goal
know
of it
that you're
being
in a short-term relationship.
Yeah, and I'm just saying, like, why are you approaching it with the goal of it being short-term? Like, no. Like, approach it with no goal, then. Approach it with the goal of figuring out what you want out of a relationship.
Approach it with the goal of, like, being a good person, maybe.
True.
And, yeah, that's, like, the other thing. It's, like... These, like, labels, right, like, you know, situationship, fling, like, they just, like, are getting used too fast, I think. Like, I think if you're in a relationship and it ends or you're on a break or whatever, then you can be like, oh, that was a
It should be, like, a
right?
posthumous,
yeah. like,
you, like,
a little
label.
Reflection, if you will. A reflection that we maybe would be doing on HING 300 if it became a course. But, like, you know what I'm saying, like...
UBC Arts, get on it.
Yeah, once you're, like... out of it or something then you can be like, oh, you know,
like, that should be an afterthought. You should not actively be in, like, a relation with someone and be like, yes, this is a situationship and, like, I'm not striving to change anything about it. Like, I'm just doing it to be in it,
because then you can just be dating. Like, at that point you're just dating. You find out afterwards that it was a situationship and you're like, oh wow, I was in a situationship. But, like,
Yeah.
But I just thought it was funny.
Do you have any thoughts? We've been yapping.
I mean, I don't know. Like, when I think about Hinge, it's just, like, it just seems a little, like, anonymity. Like, there's a lot of it. And it's, like, I feel like you can definitely be anyone that you wanted to be on there. And then it just makes me think about, like, it is really hard to meet people naturally, though. Like, I completely, like, see that. And it's, like, you're not gonna, I mean, okay, it's really rare, but it's, like, getting picked up at, like, a bookstore and be like, hey, what book are you reading? Yeah. Like, I really like the history book you're reading, you know what I mean? Culture. Where are those guys? One, where are those guys? And second of all, it just, like, it's so, like, I don't know, it just doesn't exist. And I feel like it's, you know, I wish.
I just remembered a really funny Hinge story that I can tell. One of our friends' cousins... over Christmas, over winter break, they were at, like, this really big family gathering, and her cousin tells her, like, points out this guy, and she's like, oh my god, let me not use his real name. She's like, oh my god, that's Carl. And
Carl.
My friend is like, because who's Carl? And the cousin whips out her phone and shows her this man liked her photo on Hinge, and she replied to him and goes, Carl, I hate to break it to you, but we are cousins.
That's awkward.
Right. And that's the damage that Hinge is doing on our society.
Wait, also, we know multiple people who have been recognized, like, in the streets for Hinge, right?
Yeah.
Like, people will be, like, getting bold, going up to a person, being like, hey, I recognize you from Hinge. And it'll be, like, months ago or something. And it's like, damn, like, what do you even do in that situation?
walk away.
Yeah, walk away.
Literally up and leave.
Yeah, especially if they're like, oh, I matched with you or something. Like, what do you do?
Oh, that's, yeah.
Like, oh, yeah. We also have, like, friends that have matched with each other on Hinge. And, like, if we offhandedly, like, bring up someone's name, they're like, wait, what? Like, can
yeah,
I see what they look
so
like?
Funny.
And it's like, oh, my God, I matched with this person.
But it's so funny because it's, like, with people like that, it's, like, because they're both, like, friends of ours and stuff like that, it's like there is a chance that they would naturally meet.
Mm-hmm.
And
exactly. So it's like what so was the point of Hinge?
Yeah, it's like just give it some time, you know?
Literally let us do it instead.
Yeah. That's and crazy. We should become matchmakers.
True. In informatics, we literally learned about dating app algorithms because it's a black box technology that's like replacing human work, right? And it's like, sure, it does the work faster, it matches you guys faster, but like if you'd given us like a couple extra months to be like, wait, these two would like really
people
click.
People were patient.
Like, then, like, you wouldn't be using Hinge and, like, it would be, like, a meaningful connection and, like, maybe you wouldn't have just matched and, like, nothing came of it. Like, we would have, like, actually put in the work.
Yeah, that's true. Because you can't use a dating app as a replacement for a meet-cute. You can
and
use
being
it.
Set up with by your friends, which is a lost art.
Yeah. You can use it as some sort of, like, replacement for being set up by your friends. But it's, like, where's the fun in that? Your friends mm-hmm. don't appreciate, you know, you taking out the middleman. Because sometimes the middleman is having a lot of fun matchmaking, right?
Exactly.
Like
and
Cupid.
Exactly.
Cupid is the matchmaker.
All of our listeners, exactly. If anybody wants a matchmaking service, like,
let
I'm here
know.
For you.
We
know?
Have, we know a lot of people.
We know a lot of people, and we wouldn't
single
be friends
people.
With, yeah, and we wouldn't be friends with them if we didn't like them. So it's
true.
Like, you know, they're vetted, right? If you're, like, friends with us and we're also friends with them, it's, like, probably you're going to get along.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, email us at Pandora's. Or, I don't even know what our email is. Pandora's404
really
at Gmail. I don't know.
Yeah. You probably know us in person. Like, text us, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you guys believe in, like, fate? As in, like, you know how there's this, like, theory that it's, like, red string, especially in Japanese culture, there's this, red string theory where it's, like, there's an invisible line between two people that are meant to be together. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I think I'm not a person who, like, believes in, like, fate in terms of, like, I mean, maybe I do. I don't really know. I haven't, like, thought too much about it. But I was, like, having that conversation recently where I was just, like, sometimes there are just, like so many coincidences in you meeting someone where you're just, like, okay, like, this has to be it, you know? Or else it's just, like, things wouldn't have happened the way that they did. Yeah. So, I don't know. I definitely believe in it. And I definitely believe that, like, you know, there's just, like, even if it's such a slim chance that you met someone in this one particular setting, like, if it's meant to be, like, you're gonna, like, be drawn to each other again in some form.
That's so true.
And that's my thoughts on it.
Okay,
so, if it's meant to be, it'll probably happen one way or another.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you. I feel like there's definitely people that are meant to be in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter what happens, e.g., like, adverse situations or, you know, like, you're always gonna find your way back to each other.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I genuinely think that is the most special thing in the world, like, to have that one person that you would always go to.
Yeah.
And
that's
fall
so
back
sweet.
To.
That's so
that
beautiful.
Is sweet. Thank
you. No,
yeah.
This is such a good note to end things on.
Exactly.
But yeah, like, genuinely, I do think that, like, yeah, if it's meant to be, like, it's gonna happen for you.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think, and this is important, right? You can't just, like, sit on your butt and, like, wait for things to happen.
Completely
because
agree.
Obviously, unless, because here's the thing, is that unless someone, like, your dream person is breaking into your window and, like, courting you, like, in your house or something like that somehow, like, you're gonna have to, like, invest yourself in the things that you love and the things that you genuinely have, like, passions for or that you like in order for you to meet other people that are gonna, like, be on the same level and vibe as you, right?
Yeah.
So, like, you don't have to be the exact same person or anything. It's just, like, you know, you're not gonna meet people if you're not
in your room.
If you're in your room, I guess. Unless maybe your thing is, like, gaming and you meet someone through gaming, which, like, you know, it's a thing.
Discord?
Right?
Like,
well, yeah. I mean, not for me personally, but, like, you know. So
not for me.
It
that's
be
your
thing,
if that's what you're looking for.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh.
Exactly. Yeah, but thank you so much for listening to this episode, this very special love episode of Pandora's Box. We really had a lot of fun making it. Thank you so much for
to Ruka.
Thank you for having me. I really
we're so glad.
It's a long time coming.
Agreed to come on.
I know. Thank you so much. I'm genuinely, like, this is such a
and
fun
and for
episode.
Your insights, because I genuinely just learned a lot.
Oh,
yeah,
about
I agree.
Art.
Yeah,
and
art
relationships
history is such a fun
love.
Major.
But yeah. And
we'll end it off with our last
song, which is Lovers in the Parking Lot by our beautiful, lovely, amazing
Solange. Jay-Z Stomper.
Yeah, Jay-Z Stomper. And that's another person. Stand up for your rights. Mm-hmm. Don't let love blind you.
Mm-hmm.
And if, you know, maybe your sister's love is blinding her, like beat up her man for
her.
Yeah, step
exactly.
up. And that's what Solange did. And we just really respect her as a woman who stands on business and is, like, a little funky and makes absolutely, like, great music.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. With that, here is Lovers in the Parking Lot. And as always, if you have any stories that you'd like covered by us, send them our way, and we totally will. And I guess to end it off, like...
Bye.
Yeah.